I'm Laura Kanoy. Thanks for listening to The Exchange, and thanks for supporting The Exchange. Membership contributions of all sizes make up about 40% of our annual funding at NHPR. Your sustaining membership donation of just $5 or $10 a month helps us produce this hour-long discussion. Become a sustainer today by clicking on the support link at the top of the page. From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. A New Hampshire House committee votes this morning on whether the state should allow the limited use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. It's a practice allowed in all other New England states, starting with Maine way back in 1999. And New Hampshire's come pretty close several times to joining its neighbors on this. Support has come from both the state's libertarian live-for-your-die mentality, along with deep concern for patients whose suffering might be eased. But fears that a medical marijuana system might be abused have been equally strong. The state's law enforcement community, from the Attorney General's Office to the Department of Safety to the New Hampshire Association of Chiefs of Police, have all fought attempts to legalize medical marijuana. And more recently, the state's medical society has added its opposition to the mix. These voices, in addition to several vetoes from former Governor John Lynch, have spelled defeat for past medical marijuana bills. But now the tide may be shifting. Governor Maggie Hassan has said she'd support what she calls a tightly controlled system of medicinal use of marijuana, making supporters feel more hopeful than ever that their cause might finally become law. Today in The Exchange, medical marijuana gains momentum. We'll look at the long debate over this issue, and let's hear from you. Should New Hampshire join the rest of New England and allow some limited use of marijuana for medical purposes? Or would this create an open door for anyone, sick or not, to get easy access to this drug? Give us a call, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page. We have two guests for the hour with me in studio, Senator John Reagan, co-sponsor of the bill I mentioned, HB 573. He's also a Republican state senator from Deerfield and the vice chairman of the Health, Human Services, and Elderly Affairs Committee. And Senator Reagan, good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Laura.
Also with us, Dr. Seddon Savage, clinician, educator, policy consultant in the fields of addiction medicine and pain medicine. She's an associate professor on the adjunct faculty at Dartmouth Medical School and directs the Dartmouth Center on Addiction Recovery and Education. Dr. Savage also served as president of the New Hampshire Medical Society back in 07. And Dr. Savage, good to see you too. Thank you for being here.
Laura, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Senator Reagan, you're a co-sponsor of this bill, as I said, so let's start with you. Why do you think New Hampshire should go this route?
Well, Laura, I felt that we should go this route for the past three times that we've passed the bill, and then to everyone's disappointment, have it vetoed by the governor. Last year's session, we were within two votes in the Senate of overriding the governor's veto. So it's well supported in the legislature. It's well supported in public opinion, and it's very successful therapy in the states that have implemented it successfully, as some states have implemented it awkwardly. But the states, and most notably our neighbor in the state of Maine, has had a very successful experience with the therapeutic use of cannabis.
And I know, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, as you were working to craft this bill, you looked specifically at Maine, so I'll ask you about that in a few minutes, Senator Reagan. Just real broadly at first, Dr. Savage, and then we'll get into the details. You've spoken out a lot about this, just gave testimony this year against it. Give us your biggest concerns, and then we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty about approving medical marijuana.
Well, Laura, thank you very much for this opportunity. First, I think it's really important that we understand that historically marijuana, the cannabis sativum is the Latin name for it, has been a really beneficent herb, really a gift from nature to humankind. Over the millennia, it has served to relieve pain, to improve nausea, reduce anxiety in some persons in very significant medical settings, in terminal illness, in difficult childbirths, for injuries and trauma. Marijuana contains about 60 different cannabinoids, are the names of the chemicals, which are active in serving these functions and relieving these symptoms. The issue here is that the use of herbal marijuana is just that. It's an herbal remedy. It is not a medicine in the contemporary sense of medications. So we don't know the exact constituents making up particular crops of marijuana. It's not controlled. We have a quality and safety system in this country to make sure that medications that are used by patients are safe and effective, that we know the potential risks and we can weigh those against the benefits of the medication. So marijuana is an herbal remedy. And we are recognize that there are some patients for whom we are not successful with available medications treating some severe symptoms. Most of the time, for most patients, we can take FDA-approved medications and find a combination or non-medication approaches that are effective for relieving patients' symptoms of pain, nausea, and anxiety. In those rare cases where our contemporary pharmacopoeia-approved FDA medications are not effective, there may be a need for small amounts of herbal marijuana to be made available. Our challenges with this particular bill were initially its references to marijuana as medicine or as a medical treatment. And the Medical Society has been working with the sponsors of the bill to change that perception that this is an herbal and change references now to cannabis rather than medical marijuana. We've been concerned that there need to be supply modifications made as drafted. It looks as if this bill is creating an infrastructure that would really allow widespread distribution of marijuana.
Well, and that's been a concern by the law enforcement community. And let me just make sure I got you right, though, Dr. Savage, and then ask Senator Reagan what he thinks. So you're saying with regular medicine, a regular drug, you know, there's trials at the company, there's FDA trials to ensure safety in terms of dosage. For example, a small person, a small female might need a different dosage than a large male. All that is taken into account to ensure safety. You're saying smoking a plant, you don't know what's in it for sure.
Absolutely.
You don't know what the right amount is. So that's the concern.
That's one of the concerns. Absolutely. Marijuana is classified by the federal government in a class of substances that's not available for medical use. It's Schedule I. And that's because of the potential risks of using it. And among these are some of the just basic side effects, including cognitive blurring, changes in affect, intoxication with use, so that driving and operation of equipment may be unsafe. So there's side effects. We do have medications, however, that are approved that also have those side effects. But again, it's in doses and it's in, we know the exact contents of the medications. There are 60 odd chemicals that can cause different effects that are in marijuana. And I should say, this is very important, that there are several cannabinoid medications that are available at this
Marinol
point in time.
Marinol often comes up.
Well, yeah, dronabinol or Marinol is one of them. That's Delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, and that's one of the 60 cannabinoids. There's another one called Nabilone, which is a synthetic cannabinoid. And very importantly, there's another medication that's available in Europe and Canada that more closely mirrors the balance of cannabinoids in marijuana.
All right. Let me get Senator Reagan in on this, too. What do you think, Senator Reagan, concerns that regular medicine goes through a pretty tight process of safety checks and efficacy checks, and that marijuana would just be sort of open and random, and who knows what's really in it?
The history of control of new medication in the United States is a kind of a grim history of patients being denied alternative or new treatments that drive people to go to other countries to seek treatment. The FDA process is a multi-million-dollar process to approve anything, which makes it cost prohibitive at all levels, and we're about to embark on the Affordable Care Act, which will severely limit any new avenues for therapy because of the lack of funding. So that to me is you're dealing with cannabis that has a pretty long history. Just to note Dr. Savage's comments, that this has a long history. And as many of our contemporaries know, they've used it for years, and they got their college degrees, they got out of high school, or they got out of middle school, and they survived the evils of cannabis, and we're all still here functioning today. So as far as the quality control, there is an outfit in Rhode Island that offers control testing for the quality in the cannabis plant. So that's covered. This isn't, we're not going to grow this in the backyard from seeds that we got from a friend of ours. I mean, this is...
Can I ask you a quick question to Senator Reagan? I know this is a hard question to ask, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You've got personal experience on this issue, too. I mean, this isn't just, you know, intellectual for you.
Right. No, I don't think that I'm a novelty act here. I mean, my mother and my wife both were cancer sufferers, both long-term patients. My mother died about 10 years ago. My wife died in July.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
The devastation of the pain control medications from the drug industry are horrible, horrible side effects. And my late wife, Liz Murphy, who was the lobbyist for the chiefs of police, had suggested to the chiefs that they should probably ease up on their anti-cannabis posture.
Science. Yeah.
And then 10 years after the fact, my sister tells me that our mother got a joint one day from I don't know where, smoked it, and said, "This is the best I've felt through this whole thing."
Wow.
So my sister said, "Should I go back to whoever and find out if we can get you more?" She said, "No, I'm afraid to have it in the house."
For Liz, because your wife.
This is for my mother.
Yeah.
And Liz just wouldn't, out of loyalty to the chiefs, wouldn't even experiment.
She didn't want to get into trouble given her work with the chiefs of police.
Her loyalty to her client was uppermost.
Well, after a short break, I want to go back to you, Dr. Savage, and then we'll really get into some of the details of this bill and how it hopes to do this and some of the concerns that you have. And we'll take your calls, too. So stay with us. The number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. We're going to take just a minute now to check in with our March membership drive.
Good morning. It is NHPR's March Fund Drive. I'm Amanda Loader, and we are asking for your financial support at 1-888-805-6477. NHPR members support compelling conversations just like this one on The Exchange. You make that possible when you give to NHPR at nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477. And joining me now is Keith Shields.
And making your contribution right now is to be, you can be entered into three separate drawings for two iPads and a $1,000 gift card to Small Dog Electronics. It specializes in all things Apple, but you got to give by 7 o'clock this evening to win, to have a chance to win all three of these. So support New Hampshire Public Radio, support The Exchange by giving $120, $200. How about a dollar a day to pay for the listening? Call 1-888-805-6477 or give online at nhpr.org. The deadline to get into these three chances to win Apple gear is 7 o'clock tonight, so don't wait.
And here's the thing. The goal is to raise $3,900 in 40 minutes, and I think we can do that. You can help us meet this important goal by giving right now at 1-888-805-6477. Your financial support ensures that programs you enjoy and the news you trust will be here every day on NHPR. That, of course, includes The Exchange. And you can also give online at nhpr.org.
And I know Exchange fans can do it. You know, pulling the curtain back a little on our show, one thing we work very hard on The Exchange is the questions. You know, what we should ask, when we should ask it. And with every answer comes more information, and it also leads to more questions that we need to ask. It would be impossible to provide this kind of information from all these questions and answers if we had to program it around commercials. But thanks to the support of New Hampshire Public Radio and listeners, we can give 1 hour of in-depth talk on matters that are important to New Hampshire. You don't have that anywhere else, and that's because of your support. So make your gift online at nhpr.org or give us a call at 1-888-805-6477.
And if you're thinking about how much to give, when you give $10 a month, you will get the NHPR member card. We'll send that to you and a booklet. It's a nice thick booklet listing all the restaurants and cultural attractions around New Hampshire that honor it. And believe you me, there are quite a few. It's just our way of just saying thank you for supporting the station, our programming. NHPR.org is how you do that. Or you can also donate by calling 1-888-805-6477.
And remember, you got till only 7 o'clock tonight to get in on these three separate drawings for two iPads and a $1,000 gift card to Small Dog Electronics. So the math is pretty simple. You know, you call today and you have a much better chance of winning one of these prizes. And think about it. What could you do with a new iPad? Or how would you spend that $1,000 gift card to Small Dog Electronics? The possibilities are endless, but only if you call and support the station. How about a gift of $120? How about a gift of $150? Or maybe $20 a month? Give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or online, nhpr.org.
And, you know, consider this. Trang from Durham says he loves the in-depth news and asking honest questions. If that doesn't describe the bulk of our programming, including The Exchange, I don't know what does. We have 40 minutes to make $3,900, and the way that you can help us do that is by visiting nhpr.org or calling 1-888-805-6477.
And like other strong nonprofit organizations in New Hampshire, NHPR is funded by voluntary contributions that range from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. That's what we do. We ask you to choose the amount that fits you and your budget and reflects the value that NHPR brings to you in your life. So it's $120, or maybe it's $1,200 or $2,500. It'll ensure that NHPR and NPR are always home for you on the radio at 1-888-805-6477.
And we are giving away a $1,000 gift card to Small Dog Electronics today. You don't have to pledge to be entered, but we hope you do. 888-805-6477 is the number, and thank you.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from New Hampshire's community colleges committed to increasing the number of science, technology, engineering, and math graduates in New Hampshire, ccsnh.edu. And Bedford Falls Assisted Living and Memory Care offering a monthly caregiver's book club one Saturday each month. A copy of Learning to Speak Alzheimer's may be reserved by calling 471-2555. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, renewed hope for medical marijuana supporters in the New Hampshire legislature. A House committee will vote this morning, and many supporters think that this may be the year that New Hampshire joins the other New England states in approving some type of a system allowing medicinal use of marijuana. Join us with your calls and questions at 1-800-892-6477. Your concerns about this issue or whether you want New Hampshire to join our neighbors and allow this. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. With me in studio, Senator John Reagan. He's co-sponsor of the bill that's being voted on today, HB 573. He's a Republican state senator from Deerfield and vice chairman of the Health, Human Services, and Elderly Affairs Committee. Also with us is Dr. Seddon Savage, clinician, educator, policy consultant in the fields of addiction medicine and pain medicine. She's also a past president of the New Hampshire Medical Society. and she has been speaking out against this bill. The number for you to join us again is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And both of you, before we go to the phones, Dr. Savage, I did give you want to give you a brief chance to jump in on the stories that Senator Reagan told us, his mother and his wife, both suffering greatly from pain and nausea during cancer treatment. I'm sure you've heard these stories, you know, people who are so thin and so ill and they just can't eat, and they really feel that marijuana helps them.
Yes, Laura, and I am sorry for the suffering that your family experienced. I'm very glad that your mother found something that worked for her. Our role as physicians is to relieve suffering, and we want to use what is effective for our patients. In reality, there may be some patients who would benefit from the use of marijuana or cannabinoid medications that come from marijuana. In speaking to colleagues who work in the field of pain and speaking to oncologists who treat patients with cancer undergoing chemotherapy and physicians who treat many of the challenges for which this bill is focusing on trying to resolve, we find that there's exceptional need for the use of a new approach, such as cannabis in treatment. Most of the time, we feel comfortable that we're able to relieve people's pain, relieve people's symptoms with currently available medications, some of which are approved cannabinoid medications. And I think one opportunity for the medical community is to make greater use of those medications that are approved. And I see that as something that perhaps we should work more on. I think many physicians aren't aware that they can use nabilone or dronabinol off-label for treating pain. And in some patients, that's quite effective.
These are the drugs that are derived from
cannabis. These are the drugs that are approved already that are derived from marijuana. And as I mentioned, there's a third which more closely mirrors marijuana effects that should be available in this country in the near future.
Now available but in the U.S., excuse me, in Europe and Canada,
They're available in Europe and Canada, and they're undergoing phase 3 trials with the FDA, and they're expected to be approved. It is expected to be approved relatively soon.
Let me jump in and add one more point before we go to our listeners. And this is something we haven't covered yet. We've been talking about this from a health perspective, and that's appropriate. But Senator Reagan, you know, law enforcement has spoken out against this for a long time. In the past, you mentioned your wife's association with the chiefs of police. How do you ensure that this doesn't become a free-for-all like we see in California, where, you know, just about anybody can complain of any old random ache and pain and get some pot?
So we made a field trip, several of us on the committees, and we went to Portland, Maine, and we visited one of the dispensaries and met the executive director of 4 of Maine's 8 dispensaries. And her story is that she was in California when California rushed into their legalization of therapeutic cannabis. And she readily admits that California did everything wrong. She then came to Maine and was instrumental in helping them pass their dispensary part of their law and said, in Maine, we've done everything right. So she related a story of the chief of police of Portland visiting the clinic and said to her, if you see anybody lurking in your parking lot, call us because it's no longer police because we've stopped watching. We're so satisfied with all the operations. I've talked to other law enforcement people in the state. We have no more concerns about what's going on.
Can you just briefly, Senator Reagan, describe the system that this bill that you're co-sponsoring would set up? Sounds like it's based on what Maine is doing.
Maine has to be the model because it's been so successful. They've had a grow your own since 1999, which was handled so well that nobody even knew it existed except for the 4,000 people in Maine that were the beneficiaries.
So you have to get a card from a doctor.
And you have to get a card if you wish to buy from the dispensary.
What about the grow your own?
The grow your own folks, they've had this system now for 14 years. A caregiver can grow for themselves if they're a patient, and up to 5 other patients, and their people are titled caregivers. They do not register. They have their own people that they're the caregiver for. They grow and process their own plant, And they are also the counselors and the guides for the people who are using this.
What's the system, though, for making sure these caregivers aren't, you know, distributing it at the middle school?
Like nobody, you know, the police have been on them for 14 years, and there's no issue. They said these people don't. They just so – when people get into this program, the first part of the program is pay attention. If you mess this up, you don't have access to this anymore. And if you're the caregiver, you won't be able to care for people anymore.
Dr. Savage, go ahead, jump in, and then we'll go to our callers.
Laura, I wanted to comment that what we've been speaking against is not the potential of cannabis to be an effective herbal remedy for exceptional patients who need it. We have, in fact, been working in at all the subcommittee meetings trying to focus the bill in a way and make some revisions that we think will limit the potential for diversion to recreational use in the state so that we can get this to patients, the exceptional patient who would benefit from medical cannabis, and prevent diversion and prevent other unintended consequences. Some of the things that we've suggested, in addition to removing the concept of medicine from it and focusing on it as an herbal remedy, is reducing the amount that can be grown to reduce the potential for diversion. And that, in fact, has happened in the bill. We've wanted to tighten the qualifications so that patients would be credentialed to receive allowed to receive marijuana for a combination of symptoms as well as a severe medical condition. We think it's very important to have an interprofessional advisory committee that can periodically review the outcomes. So looking at availability for patients, whether there's an increase in recreational use, if there's a change in attitudes among youth and among others about the safety and risk potential of marijuana, whether there's an increase in demand for treatment of addiction. People often think of marijuana as a non-addicting substance. In fact, it's second only to alcohol across the United States as a substance for which people seek treatment. So we're working with the subcommittee to tighten the bill to reduce any unintended harm while making it available for occasional patients.
Let's take some calls, both of you. Again, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. And waiting in Merrimack is Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Not a problem, Laura. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Morning, Dr. Savage.
Good morning.
Senator Reagan, how are you guys?
Fine.
We're very well. How are you, Mark?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
Dr. Savage, I just had a two-part question for you. You earlier expressed some concern that it's an unregulated substance. So my question is, well, vitamins and herbal supplements are everywhere. What's the difference between the two of those? And also, I've never heard of a case of somebody taking a fatal dose of cannabis. We hear about people dying from FDA-prescribed medication every day.
That's true.
Yes.
Prescription drug abuse and overdoses are a scary cause of death here in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Dr.
Savage.
We're
working hard on. With respect to the first question, vitamin and herbal substances, I think the chief difference, and as I said, herbal marijuana is an herbal remedy, and so it fits right in there. I think the difference is that most vitamins and herbal substances don't have some of the potential risks that marijuana does when it's used on a regular basis by large numbers of people. Most herbs aren't acutely intoxicating. They don't impair people's cognition and psychomotor function. So marijuana is a little different, which is why it has been a controlled substance. With respect to the second question, it is true. I think it's very rare for anyone to have a fatal outcome from using marijuana. The only exception there would be perhaps an elderly person who has severe cardiovascular disease. We know that rapid heart rate can come as a result of marijuana. With a drop in blood pressure, there can be falls. So for older persons, there have been occasional fatal outcomes. But unlike opioid medications or smoking of opium, we don't see respiratory suppression and death as a result of using.
Thanks for the call, Mark. And let's take another one in Concord. This is Aaron. Go ahead, Aaron. You're on the air. Welcome to the exchange.
Hi there. I I'd like to bring up the point first that there's many addicts out there, such as myself, who have kind of a problem with opiate-based pain medication and benzodiazepine anxiety meds. So the only thing that ever has really helped me without taking complete control of my life and driving it the wrong way has been cannabis. And what do you have to say about the fact that you can't physically get addicted?
You can't physically get addicted to marijuana, Aaron, you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I've smoked and stopped smoking and put it down for years at a time and then picked it back up. And, you know, I'm not trying to go out and rob for a marijuana habit. If I can't afford it, I can't afford it.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, thanks for calling in. And I know you said earlier, Dr. Savage, that marijuana is an addictive drug.
I think, Aaron, I'm sorry for your struggles with addiction. You're facing a very challenging disease. And I think different people have different responses to different substances. As I mentioned, for many people, marijuana, chronic marijuana smoking can be a terrible trap and lead to addiction. It is second only to alcohol as something people seek treatment for. It's a very real problem. There is a physiologic dependence. Withdrawal is much more subtle than it is from, say, opioids. People who are dependent on opioids get very physically ill when they stop using them. Marijuana is more subtle, sleep disturbance, restlessness, loss of appetite, other challenges.
Senator Reagan, if I could ask you a question about that, too. Dr. Savage is saying marijuana is second only to alcohol in terms of addiction. What can you say to parents out there, Senator Reagan, who may be fearful that this opens the door to, you know, anybody getting it, sends a broader message that, you know, marijuana is okay. Hey, it's medicine. How bad can it be?
Well, we know from the Maine experience that it does not promote the free distribution of cannabis. They have a lock on their operation and what they do. They also have an unofficial relationship for information from street dealers who have generally been supportive of people getting pain relief from cannabis. I would have to believe that tobacco use has got to be the second to alcohol, if not number one addiction in the United States. And a curious thing that they've discovered in Maine was when the talk turned to, is it a gateway drug to worse drugs? And what they learned from their own clients was it was the gateway drug away from hard drugs.
Heroin,
cocaine, meth. Those users said, you know, with the use of the cannabis, I was able to stop the use of the hard drugs, got away from the street people, stopped knocking people over the head to get money. So they said that was – even the lady from California said she had been deeply involved there and had no idea that the efficacy of the use to get away from hard drugs.
Kind of supporting what our caller Aaron said. And Senator Reagan, I know you have to go. You've got something important to do over at the Senate. So just very quickly as you leave us, this is going to be voted on the House this morning. I'm assuming you think it's going to pass. It's passed in the House before. Is that right?
Right. This will be the fourth time that both the House and the Senate will have an opportunity to pass it. And the governor's been supportive.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning. We'll let you go.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Senator John Reagan, co-sponsor of HB 573, a medical marijuana bill that's being voted on this morning. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Seddon Savage, and we'll hear from a House supporter of this measure. We'll keep taking your calls, too, so join us, 1-800-892-6477. Let's check in very quickly now with our March Fund Drive.
Thank you, Laura. The exchange in this conversation debating the issue of medical marijuana is only made possible by listener support. I'm Keith Shields, executive producer of the show you're listening to right now, and this is NHPR's March Fund Drive. Your contribution also supports conversations that you'll be hearing on the exchange next week, like our discussion with Health and Human Service Commissioner Nick Tupis and a debate that we're having right now, much talked about on the gas tax. It only takes 2 minutes to give online at nhpr.org or call us at 1-888 805-6477, and I'm joined with NHPR's Amanda Loader.
And you know, another great incentive to go ahead and make that contribution right now is that you'll be entered into three separate drawings, so three chances, to win two iPads and a $1,000 gift card to Small Dog Electronics, a purveyor of all things Apple. Give by 7 this evening, you get three chances to win. But you know, who knows what you're going to be up to 6, 7 o'clock tonight? It could slip your mind. So now is the time to call. And that number is 1-888-805-6477. You can also visit us on the web at nhpr.org. You don't have to pledge to be entered, but we sure hope you do.
And we still have $3,400 to raise in the next 19 minutes. These hourly goals are extremely important to help us stay on track to meet our overall goal of this membership drive. Exchange listeners, I know you call in every day to the show to bring thoughtful questions and comments. Now we're asking you to call in with your support. Our goal is to give you as much of the exchange as possible, but the smallest amount of fundraising breaks we can. Your call now will help ensure that. So please become a sustaining member at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
And you know, in commercial radio, you are a target audience. You're a commodity, essentially. And the programs are made to deliver you to advertisers. I've done commercial radio news, and this is absolutely true. At NHPR, though, we think about you and talk about you and cover news as thinking about you as people who think, not people who buy. That is important to us. And so to support that work, give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or visit us at nhpr.org.
Now $3,300 in the next 18 minutes. We can do it. And for a gift of $120, we have a wonderful way to thank Exchange listeners with the NHPR member card. You can use it at hundreds of restaurants and cultural events across the country, across the state, and many two-for-one deals, and you'll be supporting NHPR and shows like The Exchange. To get your member card for a gift of $120 or become a sustainer at $10 a month, give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
And you know, we have a really cool incentive going on right now. You make your contribution and you're entered into three separate drawings for two iPads and a $1,000 gift card to Small Dog Electronics. That's a really great deal. That's three separate drawings that you get your name in. If you call right now, the number is 1-888-805-6477, or you can give online with a secure web pledge at nhpr.org.
To keep us on track, we're looking for 7 fans to give in the next 5 minutes. I know we can do it out there. Someone like Mary Hannah, who gave from Saxton River, Vermont, she says, I am a sustaining member of Vermont Public Radio, but also listen to NHPR occasionally. The two are my main sources of news, both local and international. A lot of people call into The Exchange from Vermont. So maybe you listen just to The Exchange from Vermont. Support us as well. If we are also a way that you get your news and information, a way to what's going on in New Hampshire and Vermont and the region, give us a call at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org. And thank you.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Grupponi Auto Group, featuring multiple lines of fuel-efficient, environmentally friendly cars at Grupponi Auto Junction in Bow and online 24 hours a day at grupponi.com. And from New England College School of Graduate and Professional Studies, now offering 7 MBA programs on-site and online with classes starting March 25th. Information and registration at nec.edu. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking once again at medical marijuana with a key House committee taking a vote this morning and the legislature perhaps going to approve this legislation. The legislature has approved medical marijuana in the past, but former Governor John Lynch had always vetoed these bills. Now Governor Maggie Hassan has said she'd be open to a tightly restricted system allowing marijuana for medicinal purposes. The Exchange number for you to join us with your questions, comments, concerns, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. Dr. Seton Savage is with me in studio, clinician, educator, policy consultant in the fields of addiction medicine and pain medicine. And joining us now on the phone is Evelyn Merrick. She's a former Democratic lawmaker from Lancaster who had sponsored several bills in the past for medical marijuana. And Evelyn Merrick, good to have you. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you so much for having me. And good morning, Dr. Savage.
Good morning.
Well, we talked earlier with Senator John Reagan, co-sponsor of the current bill. But as I said, you sponsored these bills in the past when you were in the legislature. Why was this so important to you, Evelyn?
Well, there were several reasons. One is a personal experience that I had that I felt gave me enough information to go out and fight for those patients who could be served well by the use of herbal marijuana as an option. And in cases where traditional legal pharmaceuticals would not or could not mitigate some of the effects of cancer treatment and other illnesses, terminally ill patients who were on morphine, and the morphine was not allowing them relief, but merely disallowed them the ability to communicate with their family members. So it was a struggle to watch people suffer and not have options, and also having had a very brief encounter. I'm a cancer patient, and I was able to glean the benefits of herbal marijuana in a very significant way.
Yeah, I remember stories, Evelyn, about you going through cancer treatment and being really nauseous and just losing way too much weight, and marijuana helped you. Is that correct?
That is correct. I had a stem cell transplant. I'm sure Dr. Savage is familiar with that process. Mm, and the post effects of that transplant created what we know is a wasting disease, where there is an inability to eat, to drink. The entire GI tract is just almost destroyed by the chemo.
Wow.
I spent about 3 weeks post-transplant not even able to take fluids because of the pain. And I was literally starving to death. Excuse me.
Well,
and my husband wanted to readmit me into the hospital, and a friend suggested I try herbal marijuana. And I actually had, at that point, inhaled. I didn't know that there were other ways to ingest it. And within a half hour, I asked for fluids, and I was able to. It basically jump-started the engine.
Wow. Well, and I'm glad you made it through. And I want to take some calls while I've got both of you with me here still. And Evelyn, Dr. Savage, let's go to Todd. He's been waiting in Litchfield. Hi, Todd. Thanks for hanging on. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I certainly disagree with the people who have been calling saying that it's not addictive. The vast majority of people that I've worked with who have had problems with cannabis, I mean, it encompasses their behavior. It's everything they look forward to every day. It certainly is addictive for most people. And the second point would be for chronic pain and things like that, I think most people don't understand the nature of it. For most of these medications, even the prescription ones, after a while they become less effective, so people need to switch medications. Or increase the dose. And it would be the same thing with marijuana. And I think it's ironic that we're thinking about legalizing another form of smoking while we're trying to get a handle on health care costs.
So lots of reasons in your mind, Todd, to oppose this.
Absolutely. And it's never been proposed or put forward by folks in the addiction community or the American College of Pain Physicians. It's always pro-smoking groups that are pushing this legislation.
You know, Todd, thanks for calling in. And that's the last point I want to follow up on with both of you. And Dr. Savage, to you first, have any medical groups come out in support of this?
I'm not aware of any major national organizations or even regional organizations that have. The AMA, the American College of Physicians, have, and the Institute of Medicine have all supported further research into the endocannabinoid system, our own natural cannabinoid system, and the effects of cannabinoids and marijuana on different aspects of healing. So research is being supported, but I'm not aware of any major organizations that support the use of cannabis as medicine.
And Evelyn, can I ask you about that too, that most physicians' organizations aren't so sure how they feel about this, and also that this is a common accusation that medical marijuana is just a backdoor way to allow people to smoke pot, healthy or not.
Well, I hear that often as well, and I believe that's a common response because there's no other way to respond. I feel that people who don't understand the underlying issue and the need for this, but have a deep-seated fear for whatever reason, are going to use that as a main reason to dispute what are, as Dr. Savage readily admitted, some very specific and proven uses for herbal marijuana. You know, we have, there are actually some organizations that have come on board. The American Association of Nurses, I'm not quite sure of the exact title, American Hospice Organization. There actually are a list of medical organizations that have come on board. And very importantly also that we don't look at is the VA administration, which is a federal organization. They came out last year and endorsed the use of herbal marijuana in veterans because what they found in the VA hospitals was that those patients who were self-medicating, using herbal marijuana demonstrated a statistical drop in the use of prescribed opiates and narcotics. And in many cases, the complete elimination of their need for those drugs. They also saw a decrease in suicides and overdoses in those vets who used medicinal marijuana. So we have to look at it from a much broader perspective.
That's kind of the point that Aaron made earlier, our caller, who said he had problems with addiction to different pain medications and that marijuana helped him with that. Real quick to you, Dr. Savage, and then I have another question for both of you.
I think that we need to look at any use of herbal marijuana in its plant form as being a transient step because we do have in the pipeline many medications that are derived from marijuana, one of which, as I said, should be released within the next couple of years in the United States that really mimics marijuana but in much more controlled dosing without the uncertainties of the herbal preparation.
The uncertainties that you talked about earlier of smoking it and also we don't really know what's in.
We don't know exactly. Well, there can be contaminants depending, but if it's well controlled, that should be minimized. But in terms of the specific content of tetrahydrocannabinol versus one of the constituents, which is called cannabidiol, which has very, very different actions. And then, as I said, there's several other cannabinoids within. So the medications we will have be able to balance them to get the best therapeutic effect. So any use of herbal marijuana, really any system that is developed in this state or other states really should be seen as temporary while we're developing better medications. And that's one of the things that we've recommended, the medical society has recommended to the crafters of this bill, that we have a sunset clause built into it so we can reassess it, the system in 5 years. Now, there have been some objections.
If you were to put a system in place.
If a system were to be put into place, that it be periodically sunsetted so that if more effective medications that met people's needs were available, we could then phase out.
Wow, that'd be tough to do, though. Once you get a system up and running. That's
one of the issues that I think is a concern to many public health people, that there is there are investments being made in the distribution of marijuana. And in fact, we know that some of the large tobacco companies have taken out domain names in preparation for distribution of marijuana should it become legal.
Wow. And to you, I think, Evelyn Merrick, just real quickly, what do you think is going to happen? The House committee votes today. Senator Reagan told us earlier the Senate has passed this before. He thinks it'll pass it again. What do you think?
Well, I'm always hopeful. I do believe that with the assistance of Dr. Savage and law enforcement officials, I know that the present legislation is even tighter and more restrictive and also includes oversight and I'm hoping for the legislature to continue to regulate the use. And the sunset clause is wonderful because it does allow the legislature to say, well, it's not working and now we need to step back a little bit. But I do believe that the people that are in control truly understand that we as legislators, we have a moral obligation to do everything we can to help mitigate the suffering of our most vulnerable citizens. And we understand, and I am so grateful, Dr. Savage, for your for the research and your assistance and your input, because it's really you're very well respected, and you've given some great ideas and thought.
Okay, and Evelyn, and I have to wrap it up there,
thank
and
you
I
so
do
much for your kind
I do
comments.
Apologize, Evelyn. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura. I appreciate it too.
All right, and Dr. Seddon Savage, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you, Laura, for inviting me.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. Checking in real quick now with our March Fund Drive.
Thank you very much, Laura. Great show once again. I'm Keith Shields, executive producer of The Exchange, and this is NHPR's March Fund Drive. Be proud to know that your past support made this show you just heard possible. So please give now as generously as you can to keep your favorite programs like The Exchange on the air. It only takes 2 minutes to give to NHPR.org. So give us a call, 1-888-805-6477, NHPR.org. As well, joining me right now is NHPR's state impact reporter, Amanda Loader.
And just a reminder, today's special drawing prize is $1,000 at Small Dog Electronics. So think about how you could break that up. You could pick out a couple of iPhones, an iPad, maybe even put it towards the purchase of a brand new laptop or desktop computer. It's your call. You can do what you like, but you can only be the winner if you're in the running. Now, that is easily done at NHPR.org, and we invite you to make your pledge as well at 1-888-805-6477.
And we have a goal of $2,100 in the next 4 minutes to stay on track. Oh, actually, now $1,900 in the next 4 minutes. That's definitely doable. These hourly goals are extremely important to stay on track to meet our overall goal for this membership drive. And the money you give now will go directly to pay for The Exchange on NHPR. So, $1,900 in the next now 3 minutes. Please take a moment and give it online at NHPR.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
And, you know, listener support makes up about 40% of the total revenue for NHPR. You are our biggest source of income. So getting more members, even just 1 or 2% more, it makes a huge difference. And the way that you can enter those ranks of NHPR supporters is by visiting our website, NHPR.org, or go ahead, pick up the phone, give us a call. It'll take 2 minutes, 1 888